Hello and welcome to The Loudspeaker, your definitive guide on how to scale your startup.
This first tip for every fintech startup is,
what are the media and press saying about us? How are we being perceived by these people?
PR stunts are any activities that allow you to engage with the audience.
I don't agree with the fact that all publicity is good publicity.
Here is where we talk to communications professionals from all around the world to let you know what are the best practices and cool ideas that you can implement for your startups.
If you are ready to get started, Teresa, would you be able to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and your role at Publicize, please?
Sure. So I come from the Czech Republic, and like the majority of our team, I live in Medellin, Colombia. I am a senior writer and I've worked with Publicize for the past 2 years. And I guess what I love the most about my job is how it challenges me to learn constantly, because all of our clients are real disruptors and I enjoy the process of trying to understand the innovations and the things that they bring to the market. So I basically work like a bridge between them, these cool startups, and their audience. So I think that's pretty cool.
Awesome. And I'd say the one thing that I remember you most clearly for in the office is your ability to just pinpoint dates. Like, you seem to know like all the special days throughout all the year, and you always update us on what's going on. So I definitely say you got a very pivotal role at Publicize for that.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's a big part of PR, you know, to always know what's going on and how you can tap into the current trends.
Yeah, definitely. And I'd love to kick off today's show, which is focusing on ROI when it comes to PR, based on an article that you wrote for the Publicize blog titled Why ROI Matters in PR and How to Measure It. So I would love to get started by first understanding why measuring the ROI of PR has been traditionally difficult.
Right. So I think in the last decades, PR has really seen like a big turn. Traditionally, it was overlooked and, you know, seemed more like a mysterious addition to the business. But I feel like in recent years, that has really changed. Maybe you have heard about the quote from Richard Branson, who said that a good PR story is infinitely more effective than a front page ad. And, you know, with this vibe and this energy, everybody has been wanting to start PR. But the problem is that sometimes they don't really know what exactly they want to achieve through PR. So we all know how it can help you get more leads, build brand awareness. But the problem is like when it comes to measuring these things, because sometimes it can take longer. Maybe it's not that visible. You really need to dig deep into the result to see what value it brought you. But I feel that with technology and, you know, like big data and everything, this has become way easier. So it's like an exciting change, because we can now really find ways to measure the impact of basically any PR effort.
That's great to know, because we're going to get right into that today. And I know that in the article, you listed a number of KPIs that can be used to measure PR, starting with a site's DA score. If you could kick us off by explaining how a DA score can be used as a KPI to measure the ROI of PR.
So yeah, domain authority is a metric that estimates a website's reputation. It shows you how well content will rank on search engine results. It goes from 1 to 100, and the higher the score, the better. The thing is that statistically, the top 3 Google search results actually get over 75% of all clicks out there. So you can see why getting high up in the rankings is super important. So if you, for example, want to publish an article about how to start your own podcast this year, and you publish it on Forbes, and then you publish it on a little publication that was just started today, the Forbes result will be much more valuable because of the high domain authority of their website. So for anyone that Googles starting a podcast, the Forbes result will likely turn up high, bringing more users to your content. Basically, domain authority helps you understand the quality of PR results. But in the long term, it can also be helpful for you to observe how much your website has improved. So if you started on domain authority 15 and you gained more traction and more media mentions, it's possible that over time you will see it climb to 20, 25, even 30 and more.
Awesome. I actually have found DA scores to be incredibly helpful when it comes to getting PR results. So obviously, as you know, I try to get PR results on behalf of myself, the podcast that I work on, and on behalf of Publicize. And I've actually turned it into a game where I'm constantly trying to get a higher DA score. I think right now my highest DA score that I've got a publication or a feature on is 88. And I'm constantly trying to get a higher score. But it's definitely helped me evaluate whether or not a PR feature is worth it in a publication. So for example, if I see something on Harrow and then I see the publication that it's going to be posted in, I will always go onto that website, use the Moz toolbar and check the DA score. And if it's a good DA score, then I'll apply, I'll send something in, hopefully get a PR feature. Or if it's a bad one, then I'm just like not going to bother with it. So it has really helped me, I suppose, make better use of my time when it comes to going for PR.
Yeah, if you say 80, that's amazing, because I heard that anything above 40 is considered really good.
Oh, awesome. Well, I know for a fact that Publicizes is around like 55, 56, so that's reassuring.
Nice.
If you're interested in seeing how Publicize can grow your startup, sign up for a free PR assessment on our website. And for a limited time only, exclusively for the Loudspeaker listeners, you can receive an SEO assessment as part of your package for any tier of service at no extra charge with this special promotion. To find out more, visit publicize.co/lspromo.
So, following on from the previous question somewhat, how can backlinks help to understand the ROI of PR efforts?
Right, so backlinks are actually really closely related to domain authority. They are like a vote of confidence from another website. They can also be internal though, but in PR, we mostly focus on external backlinks. So the more you get, and especially if they're of high quality, the stronger your website becomes, and this helps you climb the search ranking ladder all over again. Then you can also receive some referral traffic from an external backlink, and you're more likely to be exposed to the right users, to the right readers for you. So if a PR result contains a backlink, it's obviously way more valuable than a mention without one. And especially if it's a high quality backlink, right? So let's say that publications like TechCrunch, The Next Web, Forbes, VentureBeat can give you these high quality backlinks, and they also improve your domain authority as a result. I think there is a great science to backlinks. You know, there are different types. There are nofollow, there are follow backlinks and all that. But what's important to know is that there can also be toxic backlinks. So sometimes a bad backlink can do your website more bad than good. So it's really good to watch out for that.
Yeah, I've heard of those. It's crazy to think that they can screw up your website so badly. You also mentioned sentiment as a way of assessing the ROI of PR. Can you explain what this means and how it works?
Sure. So Sam, you know the famous saying, bad publicity is still publicity, right?
Yeah, I know that one.
Yeah, so I don't think it's true, because in an era where one bad review can really, really ruin your reputation, I think it's super important to watch out for the emotions that are triggered by your content. And I mean, this is what sentiment is all about. It goes deeper than the other two metrics that we discussed. It allows you to really dig deep into the emotions behind your brand mentions. And by tracking them over time, you can see how your brand perception develops as a result of your PR strategy.
Okay, yeah. I actually had an episode with Stuart, head of account management here at Publicize, and he actually featured on an episode titled Why All Publicity Isn't Good Publicity. And yeah, we definitely squashed that rumor that it's so not true. You do not want to be in the press for bad reasons.
Oh, that's great to hear, because if you go to Twitter, or in general, if you Google like bad viral customer reviews, you'll see like the damage that they have caused. You know, there are airlines, food chains that have really had to deal with like a very, very bad customer reaction online. And it had like tens and even hundreds of thousands of like retweets and likes and shares. So it really can make a big bad noise for you.
Yes. Twitter, social media, all of that is definitely like steroids for bad press. in that sense. Yeah.
Very true.
So next I would like to discuss lead generation and earned traffic. Can you tell our listeners how this plays a role in the ROI of PR?
Right. So for many businesses out there, I think seeing the direct numbers in terms of lead generation and earned traffic is very important when it comes to PR efforts. I've had clients that were looking for app downloads, for example. But obviously, when you write guest articles or get some interviews, there is no direct way for you to find out whether reading that piece led that specific reader to take their phone and download an app, right? So I think when it comes to lead generation and earned traffic, it's important to turn to other more niche metrics, such as page impressions, page views, click-through rates, bounce rates, you know, metrics like that. This can really help us paint the overall image of what a particular PR effort has triggered.
Okay, cool. I think that's fair to say. And finally, so this is my last question. You highlighted the social media mentions. How can a business assess the impact of PR content on social media?
So, you know, I think this is actually my favorite one, because social media is often where you see the fruit of your PR efforts in the most tangible way. And I think that's because great content should always trigger reaction, and reactions are nowadays always taken to social media. So when you publish a piece on a, let's say, higher tier publication, you are likely to see even hundreds of retweets of that article on Twitter with comments and likes and everything. And this really helps us realize that even such a thought leadership piece has much more reach than just the readership of that specific publication that it was published on. And, you know, you can maybe see influencers, big industry players or editors and other journalists engage with that content. So I feel like that's really cool. And then again, you can also take the next step and engage with them in the name of your brand and build like really positive, long-term, direct connections with those people and your audience.
Awesome. Yeah, I know it can be strange to put so much focus on social media, in the sense that, as you know, I do another podcast, Brains Bite Back, and constantly we're talking about the dangers of social media and how our brains are all wrapped up in social media and the problems with it. But the truth be told, it can be a fantastic tool for promoting content. And on top of that, it is very gratifying to see a positive response whenever you put something out there. So like whenever I put an episode out and it gets a lot of retweets or it gets a lot of upvotes on Reddit, it is very inspiring to see. So I definitely think that, yeah, social media mentions, they're a good KPI for this type of thing.
Yeah, I love seeing my clients interact with their content on LinkedIn. I feel like LinkedIn is still kind of underrated, but it helps them build stronger connections. You know, it can help them even like strike a new lead. If somebody reads that, they can comment on that. I think this is like the next step of PR, you know, like engaging with the content that you create, and that can really be seen on social media.
Yeah, definitely. And I have to say, LinkedIn's growing on me as well. I'm actually really enjoying it, because it's quite nice that you can just connect with people who are essentially trying to strive to do the same thing that you're doing in your career and work together. And it can be an entertaining place while also being, I suppose, the social media that's suitable for the office and for work.
That's true. And it's very positive. Yeah. That's what I really like about LinkedIn. You don't see like toxic comments much, you know, no trolls. It's very positive, very constructive.
Yeah, absolutely. Teresa, if people want to keep up with the work you're doing or reach out to you, do you have social media or LinkedIn you can post them, send them to?
Sure. Actually, my LinkedIn profile is the best way to connect with me.
Awesome. I'll add a link to that in this podcast in the description notes. But otherwise, thank you so much for joining me today, Teresa. And yeah, it's been a real pleasure.
Thank you for having me, Sam.